Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let me just give you that figure again. The total amount in student loans that Americans currently owe, it's almost $1 trillion, more than everyone in the country owes on credit cards. And in Denver yesterday, the president has said he wants to help people pay that off.
We're going to make it easier for you to have one payment a month at a better interest rate. And this won't cost taxpayers a dime, but it will save you money and it will save you time.
Lowering interest rates is one thing, but a listener in Missouri says he hopes it doesn't get more generous than that. I can't believe the number of people talking about forgiveness of their student loans, he says. They alone created their debt. They alone should pay for it, not the public. I can see them giving the ability to refinance at lower interest rates, but not forgiveness. The fact is, the cost of a college education will not go down anytime soon. You probably heard our headline yesterday from the College Board that the average cost of a year of tuition has gone up more than 8.3% for public four-year colleges and up 4.5% for private schools. And the average college student at this point now finishes school with about $28,000 in loans or so. So that's not as much as you owe, Chris. Chris Galloway joins us now. He graduated from Stony Brook University in 2008. How much do you owe in student loans?
I've got about $14,000 in debt last time I checked.
So we've gotten these responses from listeners who have $100,000, $300,000, one person. That kind of makes $14,000 seem small.
Oh, I am lucky that it's only $14,000, but I'm also disgusted by the idea that I feel lucky to be $14,000 in debt at the beginning of my adult life.
You've heard these criticisms that students should, not be looking for any handouts at this point, that you knew what you were getting into, you signed on the dotted lines, you knew how much your education was going to cost, and if it takes you a long time to pay it off, well, then so be it. What's your answer to that?
We also were told a narrative our entire lives that if we did well in school and attended college that, there'd be good middle-class jobs waiting for us. And with stagnant wages, climbing tuitions, and, ever-tightening federal money, we really felt compelled. There's no choice but to take loans or to feel that you're going to cheat yourself out of your future. And then those jobs weren't there. So I feel that we were made promises and kind of forced into loans, and then society broke its end of the deal.
That's Chris Galloway, graduated from Stony Brook University in 2008 with $14,000 in loans. Chris, quickly, are they private or are they federal loans?
It's probably a mix. I've been ignoring them. I'm defaulting on principle. I refuse to pay because, jobs were not there when I got out of college.
All right. Joining us now, Ron Lieber, personal finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Ron, I would assume that your advice to Chris is don't default. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, defaulting on principle, it's great to make a political point, but, I'm not sure it's going to resonate with the lenders, let alone with the government. What it will definitely do is wreck your credit score and do so for enough years that it might create problems, not only in, buying a house or buying a car someday, but doing simpler things like getting an apartment or applying for certain kinds of jobs. This stuff matters. And, it's interesting to hear what Chris says, right? I mean, because what is not new is people graduating into a wicked recession and feeling resentful about their timing. It happened in 2000, 2001. It happened when I was getting out of school in the early 90s. It happens. But what is new is the outsized amount of debt. That is new. And Chris is, in fact, lucky not to have so much.
All right. We're speaking with Ron Lieber, who is a personal finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And he's talking about Chris Galloway, who's with us also, a takeaway listener who graduated in 2008 with $14,000 in loans. Ron, I want you to play you this comment from another one of our listeners whose debt makes Chris Galloway's debt seem tiny. Let's take a listen.
This is Scott from Ferndale, Michigan. My wife and I, between the two of us, owe over $300,000 in student loans between our med school and law school debt, and it doesn't seem to be any help for us. We are suffocating under over $3,000 a month payments just to our student loans and paid over $12,000 in interest last year alone.
What do you say to listeners like this? And this is really common, Ron, because there are so many strict limitations on student loan debt that doesn't seem to be there for other debt. I consolidated my student loans after I got out out of college, I can't consolidate them again to get a lower interest rate. You can't get discharge this kind of debt in bankruptcy. It does seem like Scott in Ferndale says, like, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, I mean, you did tick off the two things that make student loans truly different. The fact that you cannot discharge them in bankruptcy under most circumstances, and the fact that you can't refinance after you've consolidated once. Both those things, seem pretty unfair on the face of it. Now, there are all sorts of justifications for doing things that way, but it's hard to reckon with that when you are $300,000 in the hole. You know, I might argue that somebody who got into that kind of debt on the way into graduate school, particularly a professional school like law school or medical school, somebody at that age probably ought to have known what they were signing up for. And there's a pretty good chance that a physician, especially unless they're, working in general practice as an internist for, between $100,000 and $200,000 a year, ought to be able to earn their way out someday. I think the people I have the most sympathy for were the people who were railroaded into, for-profit schools or expensive undergraduate institutions while they were 17 and signed up for all these expensive private loans by financial aid officers who should have known better, and then sent out into the world with $100,000 or $150,000 in debt at the age of 22. That seems wrong to me.
That's Rod Lieber, personal finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Chris Galloway is still with us, a takeaway listener who graduated in 2008, now struggling to pay student loans. You know, Chris, let me ask you, do you have any idea of whether or not President Obama's plan helps you particularly?
It might not. I haven't been following that one too closely. So,
well, Chris, Chris, you better follow it more closely. Just sitting there and defaulting and saying we're supposed to have jobs for you since you graduated is not a decent attitude.
I'm planning on following it more closely, but really my stance is until I can find something even vaguely related to the reasons that I went to school, I don't feel that that I should have to pay this stuff off because I was misled on the reasons for taking out a loan. I mean, somebody that takes out a loan for a house or a car, they can buy their house and their car. But a student loan is really, it's a promise for a lifestyle. And when that gets let down and it's impossible to discharge this debt, what else are we supposed to do?
As Chris Galloway, a takeaway listener, graduated from Stony Brook University in 2008. I take it that you're defaulting also because you don't have a job, you can't pay it, right, Chris?
Oh, I have a job. I make about $12 an hour. So it's not like I have a whole bunch of discretionary income to pay this down with anyway.
That's a common complaint among many recent graduates. Give us a call with your story about student loans, 877-8-MY-TAKE.